You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
I'm back, baby!
Look who's back.
That's right, I'm back. We've got dope kicks on the sideline is also back, bro. his stupid, cool little shoes are back.
Yeah, all right. I hope you know exactly what we're talking about because we're making very deep inside jokes.
Well, okay. Why would you be listening to this if you don't get that?
Yeah, there's a lot of homework you need to do before you listen to a Cooligans podcast. Yeah,
shut this. Hit pause and open up a little Wikipedia.
Because you need to make sure you follow CBS Sports Golazo, follow at Not Alexis.
You gotta follow a lot of things.
You also gotta wake up at 7 a.m. every day to make sure you are watching Morning Footy.
Watch Morning Footy. I mean, we're doing pretty good. I still have a job. This is incredible.
I lost my bet. Alexis still has his job.
You're over under of two episodes.
Did they ever get that up on DraftKings? Did they ever get that?
Right. There should be a good parlay. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna tell you something. After the first episode, it was close. I'm not gonna lie to you. Somebody said an F bomb on air, and it sounded like me, but it was not me.
Okay. Well, AI's responsible for that.
These damn deep fakes. You can't believe anything you see and or hear.
So what's good, everybody?
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
We are back. We are here. Alexis is back from his travels in Turkey.
Bro, Alexistanbul, dude.
Alexistanbul. He's been waiting 3 weeks to say that.
They offered to rename it. And I was like, nah, you don't got to do that, bro. They were like, no, we used to be Constantinople, bro. Don't worry about it. We're used to this.
You don't expect to hear Constantinople brought up that often on a nice soccer podcast.
I said homeostasis on Morning Footy, and it stopped the show. People, legitimately, everyone else was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Did Alexis say homeostasis?
Was it when you were talking about
my
Diego,
homie?
Diego Coca?
No, my Irish homie, Ostasis.
You didn't see the apostrophe there.
Yeah, there's a space and an apostrophe, bro. That's my G.
How was Turkey?
I don't know, dude.
You interviewed Gareth Bale, Patrick Vieira.
Yeah, Mishi Batshuayi.
Batshuayi.
Bro, get an easier name, dude.
Homeostasis is much better.
Or have you thought about Mishi Alexis Stumble before they put it on the city?
Because I got those nailed down.
I'm just giving you options, Mishi. No, he was cool as hell.
So I
went as part of like the social team. Mm-hmm. Like we were there to do social content. I wasn't there specifically just for Morning Footy. And Andrea Pilar, friend of the show. Shouts to Andrea. She's the head of that. So mm-hmm. She was with me and I kept pitching the idea. She was like, what's a cool question we could ask? I was like, well, I got one. Who's the best hugger you've ever hugged?
Right.
And then am I a better hugger? And she's like, no, under no circumstances are you to hug or offer to hug any person.
Can we get sued in Turkey?
She's 100%.
What are the legal ramifications
so
of this question?
And then she was like, do not ask it. She's like, well, all right, we'll brainstorming. So
I'll write
that one down, but that's a no. And I'm like, no, I think that's the best one. So we kept coming up with all these. She came up with all these great ideas. And then Mishi Batshuayi was talking to me, and I was like, hey, who's the best hugger? And she was like, no, behind the camera. And then he said I gave a great hug, so she was like, you know what? Fine.
Okay.
It's not a bad idea. And then we got to Gareth Bale, and I forced a hug on that man. 100%
I didn't see the hug.
Oh, they might have cut it out.
Okay.
It was he didn't move. He had the microphone, and I just hugged the man who did not hug me back.
Amazing.
It was uncomfortable, but, you know, whatever, Gareth.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about Gareth Bale because
Spurs suck.
We got a little bit of smoke for Gareth a little bit later.
Oh, I'm ready to go.
And then you also obviously went to Vegas for Nations League semifinal and final.
My brain has no idea what time it is.
Right, right. So a couple notable things outside of the U.S. completely dominating and being the kings of CONCACAF.
Easy.
Okay.
Light work.
It was an absolute breeze.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were missing three key players for that final. I didn't notice.
I we should have played with a couple of players down, to be honest.
I say, yo, Matt, turn around. Let's see what happens.
Okay. All right.
Stare directly at the net, my G. Okay. Maybe this will be easier.
They ain't giving you any trouble. You know what? Get some work done, bro. Catch up on some errands.
Pull out the laptop. Send some emails, man.
Because they ain't troubling you.
No, dude. Canada didn't come to play, bro.
No, they did not, right? But a couple of notable things outside of that was the Black Air Force Ones.
Yes.
This was a highlight. This is a big deal.
This was huge for the culture.
For the culture.
This was massive.
Now, this is one of those ideas that you would think CBS would be like, Alexis, no, we're not doing that.
Oh, I was told, do not ask about that.
So I'm very surprised. I saw it. I'm like, huh, this is very interesting that this got greenlit.
So under no circumstances was this greenlit.
Uh-huh.
So I actually didn't tell anyone I was going to ask this. But I had this in my back pocket because we tried to do this with Greg Berhalter at MLS All-Star. And the head of media for U.S. Soccer was like, please get away from Greg. So I specifically had this question loaded up. And in my ear, I think Nico had asked the question. And it was like, oh, no, Charlie came in. He was virtual. Mm-hmm. So it was a two box, right? It was him and BJ virtually. And I heard after Charlie go to break. And I looked at Susanna and I was like, no, I got a little question. And she was like, oh, we got to go back. I go, no. I'm going to interrupt you.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this. And Aaron West was sitting to the right of me and Aaron's like, what is it? I give him a thumbs up like, you'll get it. So I said, hey, do you know what shoes, blah, 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 kicks? He said, no. I said, can I suggest Air Force Ones, all black Air Force Ones? And immediately everyone was like, wow. What a great idea. Until we got to the meeting afterwards, and they were like, what the fuck?
What was that about?
Yeah.
We don't go rogue here.
Yeah. Hey, remember when we said these are the things we're going to ask BJ before the interview?
Do you want Christian to win that bet? Why are you doing it?
No, man. But here, I want to give some credit. So, yes, I was the one who asked the question.
Who bought the shoes?
We as a group bought the shoes.
Okay. Who knew the size? Did you know the size? Like how?
So apparently, I didn't know this. BJ used to be the tape guy. He would cut the clips and all that for Philadelphia Union. So him and Charlie have a very close relationship. Now, he didn't know what the Black Air Forces meant. He thought it might have been a joke.
Yeah.
So he kept the shoes but wasn't planning on wearing them. If you saw, he wore pandas because he's basic.
Damn, bro.
Damn, what were the Uggs that the dry cleaner did?
My man just literally lifted a trophy the other day.
Bro, basic shoes wearing them. But apparently he was like, you know, Charlie reached out to him and was like, yo, are you going to wear the... And he was like, no, I don't know what it means. Charlie explained to him what it means. And he was like, if you don't want to wear it on the sidelines, can you just at least wear it to the stadium? Or during like the press conference or something, just so that you could wear them. So we could say you wore them.
Yeah.
So that it means something. And look, you wore them. We got a photo of it. Shouts to Jen for sneaking a photo of this. And what it means for the culture. I got messages from London, Australia,
right. No, it's
West
great.
Coast, Canada. People are going bananas like, bro... Yeah. The U.S. men's national team coach wore black Air Forces to a final. And I tried to explain to the people behind the camera, who, let's just say a lot of them have never experienced black Air Force energy.
Sure, yeah. They grew up in maybe different locales are a little bit, you're not going to spot these shoes.
Mike Grella said, this is what the janitor at my school wore. You know, like, you don't know. You know what I mean?
I saw that,
Also, you should be... Your janitor was selling drugs, dude. I don't know how to tell you, bro.
Janitoring was
stealing
the
drugs from you.
Janitoring was a side project.
Yeah.
Full-time job.
That was more of a work release program.
Ready, willing, and able.
Yes. So, you know, like, explaining what this is. I tried to lace him up for him. He didn't get it. He laced him up his own way. But whatever. Look, at the end of the day, he still wore them. This is huge.
It's an amazing,
promise we set out.
It's
we're
a milestone.
Change his culture, bro.
It's a milestone. The fact that the Cooligans are influencing American soccer.
It's a watershed moment.
In a way that they 100% did not want it to be influenced.
No. In fact, afterwards they were like, did you actually wear those? I'm sure there was a meeting. But yeah, this was cool. This was a cool opportunity. Also, I saw Coach Beard.
Oh, yeah, Brandon.
He had the suite next hours. They gave us a suite as like our green room. So that's like our wardrobe and stuff. That's where we got makeup. That's where we ate. So sitting down, I look over, and next to me is Coach Beard. I'm like, hey, Brendan. He was in their U.S. soccer suite. And I was thanks for doing the show.
He was on camera. I saw him.
I tried to sneak in the shot, and they pulled out. They pulled the camera away. I was like, ah! The guy sitting next to him in the fedora was like, what are you doing? Because I was like leaning over, because I'm staring at my screen trying to see if I'm in it yet. I tried to do the same thing when they put the camera on Matt Crocker. I walked over as far as I could, and they were smart, man. Anyway, long story short, Brandon's like, oh, yeah, thanks for having me on the show. I'm like, uh-huh. And then I walked away. I'm like, I'm not going to bother him. You know, he's got his friend there. And then a few minutes later, he's like, hey, how about a more formal, hello and thank you? So we're talking. He introduced me to his friend. His friend's name is Joel. He goes, Joel, this is Gabriel and Joel. And I go, Alexis. And then Brendan Hunt goes, so are you still writing? And I was like, in my head, I'm like, I don't think he knows who I am.
Yeah, Alexis has never written a thing down in his life. What are you talking about?
The answer is no, always. But I don't think he knew who
Gabriel
I was.
Gabriel who?
I think he thought
Marcotti?
I was...
Gab Marcotti?
No, I think, hopefully not Iglesias. please not Iglesias. Because you would say, are you writing to a comic? But I think he thought maybe I was a writer with the show or something. I don't think he realized I was the one on camera until I said it. And he was like, oh.
Damn, bro. How forgettable are you, dog?
And then he was like, we should. I mean, like, he did a lot of media, I'm sure.
Right.
Once we talked about it, I go, nah, it's just the morning show. I don't write. And he was like, oh, that's right. He goes, oh, you sit next to Charlie. And I was like, yeah. He goes, oh. Mm. So in his head, he was like,
wow. Put that on your business card,
damn,
dog.
Bro. Put that on your business card.
My man sits next to Charlie. All right. So, no, I'm glad we're caught up. The one thing that did happen that we should obviously address, because we had an interview on Monday, so we didn't get to do a full episode. But shout out to Maria Sanchez, who did the show the other day.
Great interview.
A lot of love for that.
Dude, the mortgage
interview.
Thing was so cool.
Thank you. She was awesome. But Greg Berhalter rehired as the U.S. Men's National Team coach. I've been doing a couple other podcasts. A lot of people have been asking me about it, and in general, I think it's a mature decision, you know, given everything that happened with Greg and Gio and the parents and everything.
That's an interesting take.
It's a mature decision. I'm like, I didn't expect U.S. soccer to be this like adult and be like, all right, let's sort this out and let's move on, because we, you know, the project was going in a good direction. So even with that, I think it is a mature decision. I still think unbelievable that they did it, right? I just didn't expect this level.
It's a surprise
of maturity.
It's a surprise because people were like, oh, how about Jose Mourinho? And now, like, you sound a little wild.
Well, nobody would have been upset if they went with another coach, right?
No.
Like, or to a further degree.
You know who would have been upset? The players who came out in defense of Greg Berhalter. And at the end of the day, I'm like, bro, if you've got like four or five very vocal leaders on the team come out and say he deserves a shot, we like him as a coach, we should have all realized he's going to be rehired.
Yeah, it definitely started leaning in that direction. But then my concern is, are the players running the team, or is U.S. Soccer, you know, running the team? I mean, both have influence, but then it's like, do you want them deciding who their coach is? Because if they have a favorable relationship with the coach and they know they're going to play...
You also can't be like, oh, do all of you like him and thought he was great? Well, too bad.
Well, we're sending that to prison anyway.
Yeah. You're never going to see him again.
Yeah. You didn't even get a chance to say goodbye.
Because I honestly think overall, it's probably less of a media distraction or less controversy if you hire a different coach. Right, I think everyone at U.S. Soccer would have been like, hey, look, they hired the company, the firm, the outside firm. They did all this research, all these analytics.
Did you just say research?
Research.
Born again.
Okay, it's like, oh, you remix Christianity. No, but it is a thing where it would have been the safer decision probably to hire anyone else. And everybody would have been like, okay, they have a plan. They have a vision. This is who they wanted to go with. I saw Gucho Nyewu on the broadcast talk about, you know, now that he's working with U.S. Soccer, he speaks in a very different tone.
Oh, he is. He's Mr. Suit now.
No, you love to see it.
He was like, how are you? How's the podcast still going? And I was like... Gooch?
Where did he go?
Yeah.
You were arm wrestling Micah Richards just a few moments ago.
Remember when you was bodying Micah Richards? That's how he got the job, by the way.
The wrestling match decided?
Yeah. The vice president of sporting.
Micah was so close to being the vice president of sporting.
He pinned Micah. But I, you know, one of the things he said was, I was like, hey, when are you going to do the show? Mm-hmm. You know, because he was supposed to do Morning Footy, and then the news came out that he got the gig, so he wasn't able to do it. Obviously, he used to be a part of the CBS family.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm expecting him to do a show. He goes, oh, no, I'm scared. I was like, because Charlie knows the real stories, you know? And he goes, no, because of you. I was like, huh? He goes, dude, you have no filter. I was like, did they send you in here to say that?
All right, but look, man, you know, he's, you know, we've rubbed elbows with some people at U.S. Soccer. I'm sure he's been warned.
Yeah. And apparently I rubbed those elbows the wrong way.
So, pretty remarkable, all the news with Greg. I think it's a... Greg, I have this in the drafts. I didn't even tweet it yet. Greg Berhalter was on Jim Rome on the show. You remember Jim Rome? Jim Rome is Burning?
Yeah, of course.
My man who just, for years, completely trashed soccer. I'm not certain of this, but I am confident that there is a clip of Jim Rome calling soccer gay at some point in history.
You know what? It's a bet I'd make.
I would make that bet.
That's how toxic that man is when it comes to the sport.
Yeah, and he clearly doesn't, he doesn't like the sport, to my knowledge. And he's asking Greg, like, hey, how are you going to mend your relationship with Gio Reyna? I'm like, how do you know these people, Jim?
Bro, first off, if you want to talk to Gio Reyna, ask me his best friend and crutch holder.
That's right. Oh, we got to get that photo.
Yeah.
Maybe we add it in post.
My wife sat next to me, so she took a video of me holding Gio Reyna's crutches. Quick story. His girl, he was sitting in first class, obviously.
Right. You're on the same flight as him. Yes. And
I believe it's his girlfriend. There was a group of women.
Be careful here.
Yeah.
Gio Reyna's like, yo, bro.
I might make it hot, bro. There was a group of ladies that kept tagging him in photos and would go out with him. The impression I'm under is that one of them is his significant other, and the rest of them are her friends, or maybe it's like relatives of his, and they all get along.
Okay.
So we called them Gio's Reynas.
That's what we were calling them.
Sure.
We couldn't figure out. We thought at one point maybe they were all significant others, and we're like, hey, Gio, get out there, baby. You got Ron Ann
dog.
Yeah, I ain't hating. You know, well, one or two of them were with him. Sitting back coach, you feel me?
Wow.
He's in first class. He said, hey, you know, come on. I'll see you when we land, you know. Let me know how the snacks are as he's putting a napkin in his cup. But they had his crutches, and I'm sitting next to that little tiny closet that's at the front of Comfort Plus.
Yeah.
So it's like a shaped, it has to like fit within the... There's a very obvious way you would put some, and they are going the wrong way. You know, like they're square peg in a round hole, bank, bank, bank. They can't get it in. I said, hey, and they're holding up the whole line. So I said, hey, why don't you give them to me? I'll hold them, and I'll put them in, or when the flight attendant comes by, I'll give it to them. Because maybe there's a different place you put crutches as opposed to shoving it in the closet the wrong way. So they were like, oh my God, that's so cool. Gave it to me. Took off. I mean, they were not even like, what's your name? Nothing.
You're just like,
are you cool? You're not going to smell this, right? You're not going to sniff it. Nothing. It was zero follow-ups. They were just like, you got this? Boom. Gone. Apparently, no flight attendant walked by for like the next 25 minutes until they were like, flight attendants, get in your seated positions to take off. And I was like, bing. I'm like, yo, can someone come get these?
I got Gio's crutches.
Yeah. I think they just thought it was my crutches.
Yeah.
And Tim Way is not sitting too far from me. He can see me. He turns around. He knows I'm holding Gio Reyna's crutches. And then we're about to take off, and I'm still holding on him. So I think there's a small part of Tim Weah that thought, I refuse to let go of Gio Reyna's crutches. I was just like being too comfortable with them.
Yeah, it's a great photo. I don't have it in front of me. I saw it on Instagram. Sorry, but we'll make a clip or something, and you'll see it there. But it is pretty hilarious. You know, you become Gio Reyna's assistant and you're just holding his crutches.
Hey, man, if it wasn't for me.
How was he walking, though?
I don't think he was real. I don't think he really needed the crutches, but it was. I think it was more to take weight off the foot.
Right, he was stumbling when he went to the podium for the trophy and stuff like that. So just want to be okay. He's playing in preseason matches with Dortmund in like San Diego, I believe. So
he remembered us from the Dortmund interview, which was so cool. Yeah, but I walked up. I'm like, "Yo, you good? You alright? You need anything?" Yeah,
he's like, hold my crutches, bro.
Yeah. I was like, bro, I got you. Let your girl try first, but then I got you, bro.
All right, let's move on to the U.S. Women's National Team because the roster has been announced for the World Cup. I was absolutely preparing myself to be obviously happy for the players that made it. Already disappointed about the players that are injured, and you know that that they can't go. And then sad also about the players that may be left off. But after seeing the roster, I'm less disappointed than I thought I was going to be. You know, you
can't argue really that anyone really got left off. The only thing I would say is five fullbacks and two center backs.
Two center backs.
What kind of wild formation you trying to play if one of them go down?
You're assuming nobody's going to need Gio Reyna's crutches, bro.
Call me, bro.
It's a bit.
And by the way, they smell a mate. No matter, I actually smell them. I did not smell them, dude. I promise you. I swear to God, people are gonna think I smell them.
I'm trying to get like which part of the crutch are you gonna smell? The armpit, armpit part, I assume.
Yeah, anyway. That's the part you gotta smell.
Okay, just a little advice for everybody out there.
If you gonna smell it, let us know in the comments what part of the crutch you would smell.
Okay, the roster is out, and there's not too many surprises. Okay, the one...
Kelly O'Hara, maybe. Julie Ertz, maybe, because she was injured.
Yeah, or, I mean, not only injured, but obviously had a baby. Also, wasn't with a club for a very, very long time, and obviously just recently signed for Angel City. So I think the concern is, you know... even there's a couple players. Like, Roosevelt hasn't really played many games.
Nah, you got to bring her.
You do have to bring her. Yeah. If she is able to play. But then it's like, what if she re-injures herself or something? I think
so
it's
what?
An ankle.
Ashley Sanchez is there. You goody.
Okay. I think losing Becky Sauerbrunn.
Huge loss. Huge captain.
Right. And then, you know, obviously not having the likes of like Sam Mewis, who's obviously still injured and stuff like that. I'm not looking at this roster and saying, yo, we got it. It's a lock. Because in 2019, I was a bit more comfortable saying that. We interviewed Roosevelt before the 2019 World Cup, and there was a little bit of, you know, a bit more swag, a little bit more confidence.
Yeah, light work.
Yeah, and you're starting to see, obviously, some of the countries. I mean, the
Spain.
Spain, all right.
Yeah, it's basically Barca.
We lost to Spain. We lost to England in matches. So, like, the European talent.
France wants revenge from the last World Cup.
Right. So, I don't see a guaranteed World Cup win here.
I think Christy Mewis is a little bit of a surprise. I think Lynn Williams, you know, covers you in case Alex Morgan, you know, is ineffective or gets injured. You know, Rose Lavelle, we still have a stacked midfield. Crystal Dunn could play any position on the pitch. You know, you've got Sophia Smith is a baller.
Yeah, I think as far as attacking, I think these are the best attacking options in the world. It's going to even be like, who's going to start? Because obviously you'll probably go with a veteran in Alex Morgan, but Ashley Sanchez, Trinity Rodman.
Trinity Rodman has to be in the starting.
I don't think she's starting.
I don't think she's starting, and I agree with you. She should.
Yeah.
There's only 11 positions. That's what's so frustrating. If we fielded two 11s, the final would be one versus USA one versus USA two.
Right. Right. So I think there's going to be a lot of goals, but from a defensive perspective, I'm a little concerned, obviously, with only having two center backs. So.
All I know is I'm taking the over if we play Thailand. Bro. That's it, bro. We're taking the over, bro.
What would they even, like, line up the over at? What number do you think they would pick? Like, 7?
It'd eight? Have to be. Yeah, you can't go crazy and go 14.
No, you can't make a 14. You can't make a 14.
That'd be embarrassing, bro.
You would hope Thailand made a couple changes since the last World Cup.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, we're going with an 8-1-1 formation. So, two goalkeepers. Go ahead. I dare you to shoot.
Alyssa Nair, as far as goalkeeper.
Who's in the mud.
You think she's in the mud?
She's in the mud, bro. Chicago Red Stars is garbage this year.
I wouldn't go that far, but they're
You seen them?
They're not playing too well. I wonder if any other goalkeeper is going to get any minutes. Kingsbury.
Aubrey Kingsbury deserves to. Casey Murphy, shouts to Jersey. But no, Aubrey Kingsbury, I think, should be the starter, and I think in camp she'll prove she is.
So I would assume that a lot of the fullbacks will probably go in as center back from time to time. If there's an injury.
I didn't know this, but Sonnet apparently prefers to play center back.
Right. And I only know her as a fullback.
I know her as a fullback. Emily Fox can play center back.
Uh-huh.
Not a center back, but can play center back. But yeah, we got a lot of fullbacks. I thought maybe this feels like you play with one, like I don't even know how this would work, but like Naomi Girma and Alana Cook are your two center backs, full center backs. Tierna Davidson, I thought, would be a backup on this team. She got in the last camp.
Mm-hmm.
True center back, didn't make it. But again, I mean, if I see Crystal Dunn at center back, I'm not going to be like, oh, no. I'll be like, of course she can.
You know, she'll be like the, what's his name? Lisandro Martinez.
Yeah.
Just a shorter center back.
Yeah, she'll figure it out, bro. I trust her.
So there's clearly Alyssa Thompson is in there. Just so much attacking talent. Again, this seems Vlatko is like, yo, we're just gonna bombard them with a bunch of goals and
stopping goals. Yeah, that's cool. But have you thought about blowing everyone out?
Because I really see that. Because even if Alex Morgan or Sophia Smith have a bad game, it's like
Trinity Rodman
comes in, Lynn Williams comes in, and Alyssa Thompson as well. I mean, we've seen her at Angel City. Score some bangers already. She's 17.
She's full of golazos.
Just graduated high school.
A couple days ago.
Yeah. No pressure.
And now going to the World Cup. So this is like one of those things where even with Alyssa Thompson, like Mallory Swanson getting injured is probably why Alyssa is going.
Yeah.
Could
you imagine Sophia Smith sliding over to the left, Lynn Williams going set? I mean, defenders would be like, is everyone here got a cannon? You know, is there no one here with a pistol?
So the obviously they're clean out of the group stage, but then obviously facing some of the teams in France, England, and England it has some injuries as well, so there's a bunch of players that you would expect that are not going to be able to go. But
don't even show up if you're a nation not called USA, bro. Man, bro. I waste the flight money, bro.
I'll be honest, not the most entertaining product to watch if it's only just one team.
Up and you just give us the medals and the trophy, bro. What,
just do the ceremony in the on the first day?
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.
We are confident. But the couple cool things were the announcements of the roster.
Yes.
Those were really fun.
What was the biggest surprise? I didn't know Taylor Swift and Alex Morgan were besties, bro.
Yeah, you know what? This is the thing is that a lot of, especially the U.S. women's national team players, without a doubt, are more famous than the men's national team players.
I mean,
it's just like, not really saying that much, but
yeah.
The fact that
no offense, but you know, The Rock isn't calling Zendejas. You know, no, he made the Gold Cup squad. You know what I mean?
We'll love to see that.
You know,
if you got him on your phone, I'd be blown away, Alejandro.
Sorry, little baby ain't calling you. You know, Johnny Cardozo. You know what I mean? It ain't happening.
So, Taylor Swift, that was a good one. I mean, they did a video with different celebrities and athletes announcing the roster. The one Shaquille O'Neal announced Trinity Rodman. So you kind of love that because of the connection of obviously
basketball,
Shaq playing against her dad for years and years.
Played with him, no? In L.A.? No.
No, Rodman only played for the Bulls and Pistons, right? Nobody else?
No, he played for...
What else did he play?
I do not know, bro.
No, I think he played for LA, if I'm not mistaken.
Another team, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Might have. He played for like every team.
Yeah.
Really?
He ended his career.
He played for the Lakers in 99. Maybe he did play with Shaq.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Come on now.
All right.
Alexis, NBA expert.
Yeah, dude. That's why you have me on the show.
He
played for a team called Fuerza Regia.
In Italy? Yeah, yeah, right.
No, Mexico.
Monterrey, Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah, he played all over.
Damn, son.
The Brighton Bears? Is that Brighton, England?
I thought he was...
Oh my God, there's a British national basketball league?
I do know that. I thought he was just, one of the North Korean all-stars. I didn't know he did.
Bro, that is his national team, though. Did you know he's from Jersey?
I did not know Dennis
Trenton,
Rodman was
New Jersey.
Oh, good for him.
Damn.
Okay.
Deep dive into Dennis
Isn't
Rodman.
Isn't Trenton the capital of New Jersey?
Trenton is the capital of New Jersey.
Look at that.
Most capitals are in the middle of the state. You know
little
that?
Little geography lesson. So they announced a couple of the players, and those were fun. But then Tim Howard showed up on screen.
Para la cultura, bro.
And it wasn't just the announcement that...
yeah, we almost really don't care that Tim Howard is is making the announcement. The most important thing, this is really big for us, is what are you wearing?
What is he wearing?
This is what happens with Twitter, bro. You have to refresh the page.
Oh, no. This is, damn, Elon? Right? What's going
on? I know,
on?
Bro. Elon got this whole app Elon, in the bro. Mud, dude. There it is. He's wearing a Bad Bunny t-shirt.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, so Tim Howard is... I forgot what player he announced.
Casey Murphy,
but he... he is wearing a Bad Bunny shirt. Can I make this full screen? Does this
there
work?
There you go.
Yeah, there it is. He is wearing a Bad Bunny shirt.
Do we think he knows who Bad Bunny is?
There's no way. You don't accidentally get a Bad Bunny shirt.
Nah, he's got kids, bro. He probably just took one of the kids' shirts.
Also, Tim Howard is like, I think, younger than you. I don't know.
No, he's not.
How old is Tim Howard?
It's on his neck.
There it is. Okay.
No, he's
44.
Yeah, okay, he's older than both of us.
Yes, yes, yes. So, but no, you would imagine he's 40.
You don't know who Bad Bunny is. He just looks Puerto Rican. Tim Howard ain't Puerto Rican, bro. That's not Timoteo.
we gotta see, how familiar Tim Howard is with that catalog. But Bad Bunny is literally the most popular musician in the world right now. I would imagine he is fully aware of Bad Bunny and his his discography.
I asked this on the morning show. Who would you want to call you to tell you that you're on the... Bad Bunny's a great shout for who to call you.
Who to call to do my roster announcement. Big Poppy.
Big Poppy?
Ooh, that would be a good one.
That would be...
Bro, get shot by a drug dealer in the middle of it. Yeah, I don't know if you remember.
Just pull a drive-by.
Yeah. Stop stealing a drug dealer's girlfriend, Big Poppy. Who would you want?
I don't know. You guys. I'd have you guys too.
Oh, wow.
Hooligans announcement.
I'm busy that day.
Good thing that's never happening, so you don't have to worry about it.
I said Raul Alejandro. That would be dope.
That would be cool.
That would be cool, but he's just like, I don't know. He's like, he's popping now. He's
popping now, wouldn't it? And?
But I'm just saying, is that somebody you...
You think anyone's going to know who Taylor Swift is in 10 years?
Never heard of her.
Yeah.
That resonates with you? That is like somebody, you know?
I said Bad Bunny, but he's wearing the shirt, so it's stupid to mention that now.
I mean...
Imagine Penny Hardaway called you.
I mean, that would be...
How much would you cry?
I would cry. I mean, I don't know if I cry.
Oh, you cried. You're a crier. Stop acting like you
I mean, you know.
When you had that baby, you cried, right?
Sam, maybe.
Softy. When you had your first son, dude. Not what I would do.
So that was dope. I really loved the announcement. It was definitely, it's the good, it's the propaganda that we need to get excited about the Women's World Cup. I love to see
This is what we need, bro.
Okay, U.S. Soccer, they know what they're doing. They're tugging at our heartstrings. Mm,
that middle of the country that don't really mess with the sport.
The Jim Rome is talking about us.
Hey, yo. Jim Rome talk. And by the way, not in a negative way.
It's unbelievable.
Everything's changed.
My man, he bleeds toxicity.
Yeah, dude.
And he's now supporting, he's a leftist.
Yeah.
Supporting soccer. Okay.
He said defund the NFL, bro. That's how much he loves soccer.
We are quoting Jim Rome.
That's a full Jim Rome quote. You can quote me. I'm quoting Jim Rome.
Okay. Unbelievable. So the last thing real quick, but we have a fun show today. Okay, we also have an interview with Casey Anderson.
So dope.
Chai Casey, as most people know her, EMLS. And Alexa's just taking a call.
We're getting a phone call.
Nico.
Yo, Nico.
Oye, ni con suerte.
Oye, tú estás en el podcast ahora mismo.
Dime a ver, hermano.
Los Cooligans.
Oye, los Cooligans. I was going to, know, to be honest, I was going to be much more vulgar.
Oh, I know. By the way, it's a podcast. You can be, dude.
De pinga.
Well done, sir.
Yo, I'll call you back after.
All right, my man. The
offensive cameo. That's exactly what we want from you, dude.
Nico, obrigado.
Hey, obrigado, cuecas.
All right, call me later, bro.
All right, peace. That means underwear, by the way.
Nico, speaking Portuguese.
Bro, doing pretty good.
Yo, I was impressed. That was very good.
We did a game early on, and it was about two truths and a lie. And the lie was that he knows Italian. And then we challenged him on it, and he speaks fluent Italian. And he goes, well, I don't speak it at a high level. I go, I don't speak English or Spanish at a high level. I still say I speak both languages.
Hilarious. Okay. Gareth Bale, we mentioned him up top.
Yes.
Gareth Bale made news because, why am I forgetting his name? Peter Crouch, yes, is interviewing him at in Turkey.
I saw him and I said, "Yo, PD," and he didn't look at me.
Because he was like, "Oh, I don't know who that man is."
Hey, yo, Crouchy, and then he looked. I'm like, "All right, I try to give you a new nickname."
All right. And let's just play it real quick because he's talking about. They ask him about MLS and promotion relegation and all that stuff. So let's hear what Gareth Bale has to say.
And I'll just ask, obviously, with Messi going to the MLS, what was your experiences out there and what could he expect? Did he enjoy it?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's a lot more chilled. Like, if you lose at Madrid, it's like the world's ended. Mm. You crucified, you feel down, you go home, you're not happy. As where they kind of accept losing a bit more, and I think there's no consequence to, you can't get relegated, you can't... Yeah. You just lose a game, you go to the next one. They kind of accept losing a lot better over there, and... They know how to lose, but they also, every win, they celebrate like you've won a championship. So you'll definitely enjoy it. The travel's difficult.
All right. That's about it.
He kind of gave me a similar answer.
Okay.
But he didn't say all this about, like, is losing out there's different. I think he was like, yeah, you know, you guys are really good at the sport now. He was like babying me a little bit.
Right. Because
you hear my accent.
Cute American accent. Yeah. You know, you don't really, am I using too, football, is it too big a word for you, you know?
Well, I told his handler was wearing jean shorts. Mm. And he was like, are you going to call it soccer? And I go, nah, we don't use English terms. And he was like, what? I'm like, you guys invented it. And he's like, no, we didn't. I go, look it up. I go, look it up while I'm doing the interview. Look it up. And he was like, yeah, I will. And I go, all right, you owe me $5. Just so you know, you owe me $5. It got real contentious, right?
I hate this smugness. It's so dumb.
Yo, bro, he got like, he tried to be like funny about it.
Yeah.
And then, bro, this is facts, bro. When we were doing the interview, I heard him go, ugh, these Americans are so thirsty, right? So I kind of got annoyed. So I did the interview with Gareth. Part of the reason why I forced a hug on the dude, right? I was like, I'm going to make y'all as uncomfortable as he tried to make me. And then afterwards, as soon as you're done, we're like, and rap. I go, yo, jorts, do you look it up? Apparently, it upset everyone there.
That's what he gets.
No, that's, yo, you think I'm not ready for the smoke?
Unbelievable.
Yo.
And
I'm not the aggressor in that one.
So people were upset with Gareth Bale's comment. I'm not necessarily upset, but maybe they use it to propel the agenda that they
anti-MLS, anti-American soccer.
Right, because it's just this concept of, like, they handle losing. It's a little bit condescending. I mean, let's not be crazy. It's that he essentially says they handle losing a little bit better, but when they win, it's like when they win a regular season match, it is like winning a championship. And it's like, all right, it's not that exactly. I don't know what you're exactly saying.
You know, I knew it was a bad idea to have a parade after every game.
Damn. Why did we schedule it every time?
It's just a lot of confetti.
It seems like a waste of taxpayer money, but why change?
A trophy for every 3 points.
So I don't, that's my issue with his statement, but I don't like the comparison to Real Madrid, right? Any MLS club is not on par with what it's like to lose at Real Madrid, because we know how much is at stake. And then he's also saying, like, well, there's no relegation.
True.
Is Real Madrid going to get relegated anytime soon?
Stop.
Has it when outside of Spurs, has he played at a club that could get relegated? I'm kidding.
And also
doesn't mind losing, treats every win like a championship.
Right, right.
He's talking about Tottenham, bro.
So, yeah, it's a...
also, he won a championship in MLS.
He also was benched, he was also benched at Real Madrid because he couldn't get any minutes.
Tell us how comfortable the bench is, bro. How comfy the seats, my G.
So I don't understand this. This it's not a one-to-one comparison, yes, because when you don't have promotion relegation, it does obviously change the tone of every match, without a doubt. But to imply that he's like talking about his teammates, right? He's talking about it's easier to lose in MLS. Right. They take it easier. It's not as big of a deal. And it's like, yo, a lot of these guys may not have careers after this season if the team loses too much.
Bro, I'm starting to side with Real Madrid, bro. I'm starting to side with Real Madrid.
Yo, Zidane was right, yeah, bro.
And by the way, I didn't even tell you the last thing I said. We were waiting for our driver, and that guy with the jean shorts came out. He goes, hey, did you ever send me the request for the $5? I go, nah, I'm not that thirsty.
Damn, bro, bringing it. Are you did a callback?
Oh, I did a callback.
Callback roast?
But he didn't know I heard that. So he was like scared, you know what I mean? And after that, for me, it was just the time to relax and chill.
Exactly. And that's what Gareth Bale needs to do.
That's again.
And George
needs an ice cold Coors Light, bro.
Without a doubt. He needs one stat, bro.
ASAP. And I'm not talking about Rocky.
Because, you know, when we need to chill and when we're in, you know, difficult moments like that, where people are trying to embarrass us for being American soccer fans.
Challenging our ability to improvise.
Exactly. It's like, bro, we're both in the Champions League final. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, we here too.
An ice cold Coors Light is the move every single time.
It's exactly what you want. Look. You know, I don't want to have to always be on. You know what I mean? Sometimes I want to be off. Or maybe you got homies coming through. Everybody's coming around to hear about how you roasted Gareth Bale's assistant.
They're doing this.
Yeah, you know? But their hands, they're like, man, my hands hurt from clapping so much. I wish I had something cold to put in. I say, yo, just look at that can right there. You see how the mountain's blue? That tells you that the beer inside of it is cold, so the can is also cold. And if you pop it, you're going to have a drink that's made not just to help you relax, but it's made to chill.
Exactly.
Cold refreshment.
Just the blue mountains, just like jorts. Okay?
Yes. So, just like your beautiful, disgusting jorts.
So when you choose to chill, pair your plans with an ice cold Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's right. That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company. Golden, Colorado.
All right, let's chat. I spoke with Casey Anderson at Chai Casey, Chai underscore Casey.
Great streamer.
She's on Twitch. He also Manchester City fan.
Massive
also works
Man
with
City
the club.
Yes.
So we talked a little bit about the trouble, but a lot about women in gaming and FIFA and stuff like that. So she's
not
on,
always a comfortable situation for
exactly,
them.
And she's on the forefront doing a lot of great work with that. So that's
also great on social media. She's just one of
She's the homie. So
she's nice in person.
Here's my conversation with Casey Anderson.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I am absolutely thrilled about our next guest because this is a person who I've watched on Twitch for years to try to get help with my FIFA game, okay? Because I was a person for a long time that was, you know, I just play FIFA to have a good time, play maybe online seasons. I'll dip my toe in. And then I watched this person playing FIFA Ultimate Team, then I started playing, and now I have somebody to blame for my addiction because it is absolutely problematic, but literally just one of the most entertaining FIFA players in the world, okay? Based out of Chicago, works with Manchester City, works with the Chicago Fire, also was the first female EMLS representative that represented a team. Absolutely honored to have a friend, okay, finally on the show. Give a big round of applause for Casey Anderson. Casey, what's up?
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me. This is exciting because mainly for me because I get to finally learn what your last name is. I see. This is great. You are Chai Casey to me, and now you know you are pivoting. You know this is you're finally letting people peek behind the curtain and let them know what your full government is. Place I want to start. You just got back from Zurich in a big tournament. Covering the tournament and you can give more detail. But it was essentially a FIFA tournament for women. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like this to this degree. But what was it like being around something so huge like that?
Yeah, so it's interesting because I actually went to 2 all-women's FIFA tournaments within the space of a month, and that's unheard of. Normally we have online events where we're playing people from Spain and the connection is absolutely atrocious. Right. But no, we had LAN events, so that's in-person people playing direct across the room and actually having to be able to communicate with people. So it was in Zurich, it was with FIFA E, and it was at the FIFA Museum as well. So the location was sick. But a bunch of countries from all over the world chose representatives to pretty much rep them in this FIFA tournament. And actually, before we even get to the tournament, we had this boot camp, which honestly, I think it was my favorite part. So I taught everyone about Twitch. We had Samantha Jade Miller, who is amazing in the women's football scene. She was teaching on TikTok.
A friend,
sports psychologist there. They went through fitness sessions. And so it was mind, body, gaming, everything right. that you could possibly do. To put these women in the right place.
I bring up FIFA to my therapist all the time, so I get the same support.
Yeah, but we're out here throwing controllers because the game doesn't go our way. They're like top tier, best FIFA players in their craft. Honestly, they are so, so good. So then, obviously, the last day of the competition in Zurich, they all competed. And then we had Miss Cecilia, who won it for Brazil. And I'm not even kidding. When I stream, I told them on my stream yesterday, I said, she would beat every single person in my stream. She's that good at FIFA. And it's just good to see because they haven't had this platform historically. And so it's great that FIFA is putting them there. EA is doing a really great job. And we're seeing more and more esports organizations actually sign women to their clubs as well. So it's just been a blast. And then I got back Saturday and it's been fun.
It's great. Look, and you know, I've been watching you on Twitch for a long time. And can you speak a little bit to just in the time since you started to sort of where we are now? Because I think from watching your rise and following along with it, you and your community kind of fostering a place where not only can women play, but play FIFA, which is like, you know, there is. I wish there wasn't the hurdles, the dumb comments. It exists, but there's a certain level of normalization. Don't know how to say that word, but that's happening now, where it's not weird to just have women playing FIFA, which is like, it feels like such a caveman brain to even sort of have this conversation, but it's still something that we have to fight.
Yeah, I mean, when I started, so I started peak COVID. So what is that, 2019? I've been doing it for 3 years. I could count on one hand how many women were streaming the game. And so that to me blows my mind. Yeah. It's 2019 and there's not even women playing the game in public. But that's because the backlash that we got in the beginning, and we still get, right? But it's a little bit less now, was just so controlling and just had such an adverse reaction that, like, when you pick up a controller and turn on your webcam and you're getting that type of reaction, why would you even want to do it? So you're just going to play behind a screen and you're going to make sure that your username doesn't sound like a girl because then you'll get messages.
Yeah.
But it's getting better. And I'm not going to say that when I post a video on Instagram, do I not get coffee emojis with women next to them all the time? Of course I do. But there's more and more of us doing it. I would say that it's increased by like times 10. So you might say that that's still not that many. We have a long, long way to go. But there's so many more women doing it. And the 2 women that were chosen for US are actually super new to the scene as well. And so it's important to bring up the people, even though they might not have that many followers or that many viewers, it's putting them in those positions to, you know, get the spotlight and hopefully grow from there and then inspire even more people to play the game as well.
It's exciting. I mean, we had Maria Sanchez of the Houston Dash, and obviously NWSL is now in FIFA, but I just spoke to her last week, and she was just talking about how, you know, she doesn't pull any punches when she's playing FIFA. I just, what I like is seeing some of the toxicity from my male peers in women now within FIFA. So there's a to me that is equality. We can both be sort of awful to each other at the game and talk a lot of trash. So it's nice to see. All right, I support it.
Absolutely. I mean, if you gritty on me and you're a guy, I'm going to gritty back on you. So I'm totally fine doing that at the end of the day.
All right. We'll get back to FIFA. I want to talk Manchester City a little bit because, since I've known you, Manchester City, you bleed blue. I'm not a City fan. I'm an NYCFC fan, so we work in the same building. We're in different departments. But Manchester City winning the treble, and you got to be there for that as well, right?
Yes, I was in New York for the watch party, but not in Istanbul.
Okay. So, but clearly, I've been to that yeah plenty of times. I'm working with Manchester City. I think the completing this treble. The bigger question is like, what does it mean to you? But the game against Inter Milan was like. It felt like if it didn't happen this time, it would have been them winning to me wasn't a surprise. It was if they would have lost again after years of heartbreak in Champions League, would have been really difficult. But yeah, well, how did you take in all that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll start off looking backwards. Right, 2 years ago we lose to Chelsea, absolutely devastating. We should have won that. At the end of the day, we should have won that. Yeah. Everyone anticipated us to win that. Then we lose to Madrid last year, and I'm not even telling you last year. I had my tweet ready to go celebrating that game. Like, I took a selfie. I was ready to go celebrate the win against Madrid. We lose that, right? Again, devastating. I actually cried that day. This year, we beat the hardest team, which is Madrid, arguably the hardest team. And then we have Inter. I was more scared for Inter because that's just sometimes what City does. Like, we bottle it in these biggest chances. And so if we were to lose that, I was telling everyone, I was like, I don't know if we ever win it. I don't know if we ever win it because I'm afraid that Pep leaves. I'm terrified of all yeah.
The Yaya Toure curse is real. It all feels too.
Yes, exactly. And then we also don't know how long Haaland's going to be there. And so he's our secret weapon that we haven't had in previous years. Right. And so it meant everything. Also, just due to the fact that anytime I'm in an argument with another Premier League supporter, they're always like, where's your UCL? Where's your UCL? So, like, this was the moment to be like, here it is. We have one. Now I get, okay, no, now you only have one. But still, I am so happy.
Look, Casey, I'm an Everton fan, so I'm just looking at you like, hey, it's cool that we're still here, right? Still in the same league. Pretty dope.
Well, I apologize because last night on stream, someone asked me who I think is going to get relegated next season, and I said Everton. I feel so bad now.
It can't happen. We're literally 2 years in a row. We're like, the sword is hanging right above our heads, and we find a way to dodge it. But this Manchester City are and I'm sure you get these comments of just like. The hopping on a bandwagon, right? That's I'm sure that you get that from time to time. What did it for Manchester City for you? What was the thing that drew you to the club?
Yeah, so it's interesting because all throughout middle school, elementary school, my main focus was Chicago Fire, U.S. Women's National Team, U.S. Men's National Team. I went to games in Chicago. Luckily, I'm really close to Soldier Field, so I had access to them. But I never really had a connection to any type of English football. But then I go to college where there's people from all over the world and they already knew that I liked watching football. And so they're like, how are you not watching the best league in the world? And I was like, best league in the world? Like, tell me more. And so I started watching it casually. And then I'm the type of person that when I like something, I like obsess over it. And I do research and I do all of that. So that's what I did. And so I started looking into every single team. And then I'm like, who is this Pep Guardiola? I've heard his name, like Barcelona, like all of his stuff. And then I'm actually so weird. I started reading a bunch of articles about him. And I was like, this man is literally a genius. And so then I started watching them play more and more and more. And then I was like, Yaya Toure, Vincent Kompany, like they're so cracked. And so it was kind of like a puzzle piece, little pieces coming together that made my fandom. And then I'm like, my favorite color is light blue. So honestly, every single piece of it fit together.
I love it. Yeah, because a lot of times it is one of those things where people will suggest you're just hopping on the winning team. But then it's like, but I love the innocence of like, I didn't know at one point. I didn't know who Pep Guardiola was, but it's like for Americans, it's like, oh, okay, he's won how many this, how many leagues, how many whatever. He just seems like a guy that gets on all fours in the technical area, and then you realize this guy is also a genius, and that's what it is. Like a lot of these brilliant managers are also the weirdest people you will ever probably meet. I'm curious about because as an Everton fan, as an American Everton fan. What tends to happen when I go to England, when I go to Liverpool, people are generally pretty welcoming. They really love the fact that Americans are into their club that they've been obviously supporting since they were children. What's the Manchester vibes like when an American woman is there supporting their club?
Yeah, I think it's different for any type of woman going into a football game. You're going to get a good reaction most of the time. But everyone's been super, super nice. Plus, I had done stuff online with them because I signed as a content creator before I even went over. And so I went to my first City game and I walked out of the tunnel because I was doing just some sideline coverage. And someone goes, Case. And I was like, I know they're not talking about me because I didn't feel like I had that type of statics. But it was really, really cool. I had a couple people recognize me and take pictures and stuff like that. But everyone's been super, super nice. And I mean, because at the end of the day, everyone who's in that stadium wants to be there and they're excited to be there. And they just want more people to join them in that excitement. And obviously, we win a lot as well. And so we could celebrate together. And it's been really, really great because I've been there since I've signed like 5 times, and so I've been to quite a few games, both men's and women's side as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Alexis is my co-host is not here right now, but he is an Arsenal fan, so he was not too happy with the winning a lot by Manchester City. You're not a big fan of that. What do you say to the, you know, because it was, you know, you guys have won the league quite a bit, but the fact that Arsenal was so close, and you know, whether you, depending on where you are in the story, did they bottle it or not? How do you feel about their capitulation?
Yeah, I mean, there was a point in the season where I told my community, I was like, it's over. Like, Arsenal took it. I genuinely didn't think that we were going to get it back. Obviously, that changed to our favor. not to be harsh, but I do think they bottled it. They had it. The majority of the world thought they were going to win it, and it crumbled, and they lost to teams that they definitely shouldn't have lost to. It's not like they had all these big teams at the end where they had to beat them. Like, they lost to teams they definitely should have beat. Granted, they've had a few injuries here and there, but at the end of the day, it's a bottle job, and it's unfortunate for them.
Without a doubt. So getting back to EMLS a little bit, because I've played in an EMLS like event in, oh man, this was in Orlando, I believe, at an All-Star. And it is, and Alexis and I, we've worked with the MLS, especially during COVID, hosting a lot of their online tournaments and things like that. But the fact that you were the first woman to represent an EMLS as an EMLS player, clearly the Chicago Fire, what was just the kind of experience like? I mean, I played in one sort of event, but I played, who did I play against? I think it was the guy from Atlanta, the Brazilian guy. And it's just like, they're too good. I mean, I'm decent at FIFA, but they are unbelievable. They're just the quality of play, like just getting involved in that, and then also seeing the kind of the growth of esports within American soccer. Well, how's that sort of felt to you being a part of that?
Yeah, it's been really cool since I've been a part of EMLS since the second year that it ever existed. And so I actually started off in marketing for Chicago Fire. And then they soon found out that I was into gaming. And they're like, well, do you want to take on all of our esports? And I was like, absolutely. And so I signed all the players. I did the marketing for it and all of that. And then I started doing my own content on the gaming side. And so it kind of just, it was a no-brainer to kind of integrate the two. And so then obviously the Fire signed me as an official content creator. And so I worked alongside our other three professional gamers as well when they competed. But to see the experience going from 2018 to now and how good the players are, I mean, they're literally signing players from all over the world. There's guys from Germany, Brazil. And so they're getting top-tier talent to compete in EMLS. But the coolest part about EMLS is that even if your team like the Chicago Fire isn't, obviously they're not very good right now. We're second to the last in the league. But you have someone to root for that could win you a trophy, because Kid Mamito, who was our player 2 years ago, he won our only trophy that we've won in a very, very long time.
Right, right. And since, so, like, Bob Bradley was there, bro.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
We don't need to discuss all of that. It, honestly, being a Fire fan is sad sometimes. But, no, it is really, really cool, because if you're a fan of that club, you're also a fan of their esports player. And so seeing the, both the integrations and the crossover between gaming and IRL football has been really cool.
Yeah. The I mean, the dedication into the game. And you know, I don't know how – this might be helpful to the you know, maybe 100 to 200 people who are as obsessed with FIFA who are listening or watching to this right now. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty, I mean, you play FIFA a lot. I mean, it's what's your schedule? Is it 4 days a week, 5 days a week?
It's like 5 days a week, 4 hours a day minimum.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, you look, I'm at Chai Casey. It's Chai underscore Casey, K-A-C-E-E. Anybody listening? On Twitch, she's on all the time. And when it comes to the specifics, like, one of the things I always see, especially on my TikTok, is like, here's a new FIFA strategy, right? Whatever, like the new British guy that has OP. This corner kick routine is OP. All right, okay. So now I'm really speaking to the kids right now. But those specifics, how much are you consuming every single detail to give you a competitive advantage? Are you watching the TikToks like I am? Like, what are you? You're also making them as well. But what is the strategy that you decide, you choose when you're playing the game?
Yeah, the nice thing about FIFA esports is that there's so many tournaments that you can watch on Twitch. So whether it's on the EA Sports channel, FIFA E, or even individual leagues, because Bundesliga has a league, E-Prem, but you can watch every single game. And so I'm actively watching those, both because I'm trying to do better with my own hosting career and do all of that, but I'm watching them and learning. And the more you watch pro gameplay, the better you're going to be, because you're going to be like, oh, I saw him do that L1 heel-to-heel to get past the keeper. I'm going to go bring that into my weekend league. And even though you might see a crazy combo and be like, no, I'm never going to learn that. But there's little things that you can add into your game that actually will really, really help you. Or be like, wow, they actually never use a sprint button, because it kind of helps you.
Yeah, I learned that. You gotta chill with the sprinting. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So you watch them and then you learn and then add them into your own game, essentially.
Yeah, I'm probably like 5 years too late, but I just started introducing some croquetas to my game. And okay, it's helped quite a bit. This is what, like I mentioned earlier, I play a lot of Ultimate Team, and I don't my issue is I just don't play the game enough to get enough coins. I wish I had the money to buy the people points or whatever. I know sometimes you do giveaways. Hey, I'm right here. but one of the things is getting the better players. I mean, if you don't have the better players, you're really not going to be able to compete. And then, but there is a little bit of delusion that people, they think if they get the better players, they will then win. And that isn't correct, Casey. Am I right?
No, absolutely correct. You could have the best team in the game, but if you don't have the skill, and we call it, you don't have thumbs. that's what we say. If you don't have the thumbs, like, you don't have it. You could have R9 up top, but if you don't know how to use them, you're not going to win.
Right, right, yeah. I mean, look, I have them. I have the loan card that they gave for free, and I try to use Ronaldo as when I really need him. Maybe if it's a tie game and I really need to just get I need to get the win in division rivals. That's when I try to, you know, when I bring him in. But okay, all right. So this is there's a couple of things before we wrap up. I mean, you have had just some really awesome milestones. One of my favorites was you were on the PlayStation home screen, bro. This is what I mean. This is a I'm a stand-up comic. This is like getting on late night TV. This is on being on the Tonight Show or whatever. What when you saw your face on the PlayStation home screen? I'm sure you were proud. Was the family proud? Did you celebrate? How'd you do it?
Yeah, so I did an interview with them about women in FIFA, and I thought it was just going to go on the YouTube channel, which I was like, that's cool in itself because it's the official PlayStation YouTube channel. And then one of my friends sent me a screenshot of the front page of his PlayStation. I was like, that can't be right. Like, I wasn't told this was going to happen. I was at the Chicago Fire preseason, so I was like running around. But then, like, I sat down because I had my PS5 with me. I bring it everywhere. And I loaded it up and I was like, that's actually my face in the PlayStation. And it's not even like, it wasn't even just in Chicago or just in NA. Like, it was all over the world. So absolutely insane. I had friends who I hadn't talked to in years be like, is this your face on the cover of PlayStation?
Bro. And you're just like, nah, I'm not going to let you borrow money. It's all good. they didn't even ask anything. You're like, nah, I ain't got it. Damn, all these people always hitting you up out of nowhere. You weren't with me was that when I was at the bottom. Like, damn, Casey, chill. No, it's awesome, man. It makes me super, super proud. Obviously, I've been a fan for a long time, and to see all your success and everything. Just like, again, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing amazing work, and not only are you just helping grow esports, but helping grow, you know, maybe my wife one day will play FIFA with me because of she might have been inspired by you. I'm hoping every single day. The only game right now that we play together is It Takes Two. Have you played that game?
I haven't, but I've heard about it.
Yeah, it's a co-op game, and it's like literally the characters are the husband and wife that got turned into dolls, and they have to save their marriage by going through every level. And we call it the divorce game or the anti-divorce game, but it's an option. I just always want to give a shout out. It's a very good game. Casey Anderson, where can people follow you? Where should they check you out? Speak to our platform.
Sure. So I'm actively posting content on Twitch, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, but all of my handles are CHI_KACEE.
That's it. Yeah. And Casey, again, on every platform, she does great work. And seriously, on Twitch, she's awesome. And it's a really, really great community to see on there. Casey Anderson, thank you so much for joining. Seriously, I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Cheers. All right, shout out to Casey Chai_Casey. Go follow her, go support, go watch on Twitch. Seriously, she's just literally one of the most entertaining FIFA players on Twitch.
She makes great content.
And now, you know, with EAFC and all the changes, I know there's like a lot of fun stuff coming down the pipeline. So shout out to Casey Anderson. Thank you so much for joining the Cooligans. And everybody, thank you again for tuning in. Just a reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, you're watching on DraftKings Network, wherever you're tuning in, if, you know, sometimes it might be easier to listen to the podcast on your drive home.
We got you covered, bro. You could listen to it. You could watch it. You could capture it in small clips on social media.
Exactly. All right. You can bootleg it. Do whatever you got to do. It.
You know what? You could hire us to go in the backseat of your car and just talk while you drive to work.
That should be one of our Patreon things. Like, just a little drive time with the Cooligans, but we're actually just in the back of your car.
Bro, you drop $1,000 a month, we showing up.
We will be there. You can make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or whatever your preferred podcatcher is. So as always, if you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. If you haven't done that, come on, what else? You've been on YouTube long enough.
Bro, you're making Christian's baby cry.
Exactly. You hear that? That was pretty bad.
That's messed up. I can't believe you're doing that.
I can't believe you did that.
When all you had to do was hit a button and it would stop.
All you had to do was hit the subscribe button and you didn't want to make the baby crying stop. Wow, I mean,
such a like commitment to make a baby stop crying.
Wow. Really got to
spend all your time waiting.
You got to start looking inwards, bro.
I know.
Start really figuring
next
out.
Next time you look in the mirror, it's going to be a long pause.
So make sure you hit the subscribe button on YouTube and tell your friends about the Cooligans podcast.
Your friends you hit the subscribe button.
Okay, they want to know. What'd you do today? Oh, I hit the subscribe button on the Cooligans podcast.
Damn. Is that why that baby stopped crying?
Okay. It literally just the trickle-down effect. Yeah. It would just be so amazing.
It's such a light commitment.
So as always, make sure you follow us on all socials at Soccer Cooligans. Subscribe, do all the stuff, and we will be back on Monday. A lot to look forward to. Obviously, MLS All-Star coming up, Leagues Cup, Women's World Cup. We're going to be doing a lot of coverage this summer.
A lot of cups.
It's going to be great. All right. So we will see you on Monday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.